All right, raise your hand if you've ever received your phone screen time report and felt ashamed about the amount of time you spend on social media. Well, if your hand is up, you are not alone. For many people, social media can be a massive time suck. And we've seen the research over the years that it can also make people feel bad about their own lives. It's also really hard to quit. Derek Thompson, a staff writer at The Atlantic, called social media attention alcohol in a recent piece. And he says thinking of social media as an addiction might just be the key to helping fix our problems. Welcome, Derek.
Great to be back. Thank you.
So why make the comparison between social media and alcohol?
This started with research that Facebook itself has done on its own product and the effect that their products like Instagram and Facebook seem to have on a sizable minority of their users, in particular, young women. Overall, they said they enjoyed the product. They thought it was extremely fun. But for a sizable majority of young women in particular, it was addictive. It increased anxiety. It increased depression. They felt worse about their bodies. So I was thinking about, you know, this stimulus that kicks in a bit of dopamine but is unwholesome in larger doses that people struggle to use in moderation, that is this intoxicating cocktail of disorientation and fun and dependency. And I thought, this sounds a lot like our relationship in the United States in particular with alcohol, and so decided to call social media attention alcohol and sort of follow that metaphor to some of its logical conclusions.
You mentioned this Facebook research, and I mean, we've known this for some years now. These social media companies are studying human behavior and brain science and using it to make these apps addictive. I mean, why haven't they done anything about it? I mean, simply because it helps people be on the apps more, right?
I do think that a large part of this is the fact that Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and LinkedIn are all trying to increase time on site. They want to build products that are really sticky. But if a product is too sticky, it becomes compulsive. And if a product is too compulsive, it becomes addictive. So you are in the world of attention here, trying to build something that is compulsively usable, but not falling all the way on the addictive side of the spectrum. I think ideally that's what they're trying to do. And what Facebook is recognizing, I think, with these studies that go back several years, is that in many cases, if they are trying to sort of thread that needle, they're failing. That for something like one third of their younger female users, this app's behavioral profile really does start to look like an addictive substance, something that they regret using, that they look forward to using less, but that they can't help themselves from using despite the fact that it makes them feel bad about themselves due to negative social comparison. They see things on the app that make them compare themselves negatively to other people, and teenagers in particular are so sensitive to these kind of social comparisons that the outcomes seem to be not good at all.
I want to ask you about something else. So Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, they all work kind of differently. Does social media addiction vary depending on what platform you're on?
That is a great question. And I think the only honest answer is that we don't know yet. Certainly, there are huge differences between these platforms. Some are photo-driven, like Instagram, versus text-driven, like Twitter. Some have great differences in behavior. You know, networking on LinkedIn is very different than browsing for outrage on Twitter, which is very different from, you know, scrolling idly on Instagram and Facebook, looking at, you know, baby pictures and, you know, photos of your friends. So obviously the media is different, the behaviors are different. What seems to be key here is that we're starting to see in some of these meta studies a connection between all of this social media use and negative effects, especially for young people and teen girls in particular. And the behavioral science behind this is pretty straightforward. You know, teenagers are really sensitive to social influence, that is the opinion of people like them. And they seem to be driven to negative emotionality by overuse of these platforms.
Okay, Derek, do you find yourself having a harder time managing your time on a particular platform? I'm not going to lie. Instagram is like my alcohol.
Yeah, Instagram is your whiskey and Twitter is my wine. And honestly, when I was first sort of brainstorming this metaphor on Twitter, where I am in part throughout the day, I wanted to make clear that, you know, I love wine. My dad introduced me to wine when I was a kid and, you know, taught me how to use it responsibly, and I still adore it. Mm. It's a central part of my life. But I also recognize that this plays a very negative role in lots of other people's lives. And I see that sort of delicate relationship between a useful product that makes life a lot of fun and a compulsive product that makes me feel bad about myself when I use Twitter. And I see it in other people's lives when they overuse alcohol. So I thought it was just really important to make the case that social media is like attention alcohol, not because these things are all good or all bad, but precisely because they can be so wonderful in the right doses that it is so easy to overuse them.
Right. It'll be interesting to see if governments, which regulate alcohol sales and consumption, might think about social media uses in the same way as well. Derek Thompson is a staff writer at The Atlantic, as always. Thank you so much.
Thank you.